After a few years of defensive futility, the Packers are among the league leaders in points allowed and sacks. So what's different this year? We'll ask Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're taking one last look back at that win against the San Francisco 49ers and then starting to look ahead to the St. Louis Rams. To do that, we have joining us on the phone this morning, Nathan Yonke, making his weekly appearance from ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show, as always. Nathan, one of the pleasant surprises this season for the Green Bay Packers thus far has been the improvement of the Packers' defense. And what I want to know is, what differences do you see with this Packers' defense compared to last year? Where has that improvement come from?
I think there are two areas in specific. One is the defensive line. I think having B.J. Raji back and playing better than he was before his injury, as well as the emergence of Mike Pennell, they've been playing better than LaTroy Guion and Josh Boyd were playing last year, specifically against the run defense. They're making more plays in the run game, getting blocked less frequently. And then Mike Daniels finishing off the defensive line. He was having a good year last year, but he's playing even better so far this year. Then I think the secondary is not as big of an improvement, but they are playing a little bit better than they were last year. The trio of Hayward, Shields, and Randall at cornerback are slightly outperforming William Shields and had last year. But then I also think the bottom of the depth chart for the Packers in the secondary is playing better. We had to see a few of those guys last year, and that didn't work out too well. Where this year, guys like Chris Sandro and Quentin Rollins have seen some playing time, and they've been playing well in their playing time. So I think it's a combination of the defensive line stepping up big time and then the secondary playing a little bit better.
All those things sound good to me, and I would tend to agree with all of them. So it's great. I don't mean to make it seem like the Packers' defense was chopped liver. At times it played very well last year, but the improvements has been notable. Clay Matthews, I think he was one of the big performers against the San Francisco 49ers this past weekend, Nathan. Could you kind of go into his production and where it was coming from? Because we saw him lining up at different spots on the field.
Sure. He played about 70% of his snaps as an inside linebacker, the other 30% as an outside linebacker. Moved around a little bit throughout the game as well. And then he also got to rush the passer a bit, roughly half of the pass plays he was rushing the passer. So he had a couple nice plays throughout the game. A tackle for a loss and another tackle for a short gain in the run game. A hit and two hurries as a pass rusher. So that's all good to see. He didn't grade out quite as well as you would expect to see with someone making all of those plays, partially because three of those five plays he was completely unblocked before making the play. So while it's a good thing for him, not quite as good as it could have been. There were a few negatives for him as well in the game. A few times where he was blocked in the run game. In coverage, he was targeted twice, and although he didn't allow a catch on either of those plays, he wasn't in the best coverage, and the reason for the incompletion was more inaccuracy from Kaepernick. So overall, we would say that it was an average game out of Matthews, but he definitely did make a couple plays throughout the game.
Yeah, and I think if we're just looking at the pass rush alone, maybe I especially blitzing up the middle, I thought it was pretty good. But anyway, elsewhere from, speaking of the pass rush, all the Packers sacks came from the linebacker position on Sunday. How would you say the outside linebackers in particular have performed?
I think all of those outside linebacker sacks, a lot of them were really a team performance. A lot of the sacks, as well as some of the pressures, went completely unblocked. So I would say that a lot of the Packers' game plan, the blitzes that they drew up, the Packers were very successful on their blitzes. So it might not have been a player particularly playing well, but the Packers' game plan working well against the 49ers, and they were unprepared for it. There were also some sacks where they were coming late in the play where someone else was getting the pressure on Kaepernick. Mike Daniels in particular had a great game, even though he wasn't one of them that got a sack. But that led Kaepernick to start moving around, and then an outside linebacker was right there ready to make the tackle after Kaepernick started moving. So that's also where some of the sacks came from. But if there's one person in particular that stood out to me, it was Nick Perry. He had a quick sack against Joe Staley, and then another quick pressure against Staley, which since Staley has a reputation of being one of the better left tackles in the league. And then Perry also had a cleanup sack to help pad his stats, but he did that all on just 11 pass rushes. So getting close to the quarterback or getting to the quarterback on 3 out of 11 pass rushes is pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Very good improvement by Nick Perry, if nothing else, especially for a guy who's underachieved, I would say, in the past few seasons in a Packers uniform. So good improvement by him. I know Sam Shields was one of the disappointments for the Packers the first week of the season, Nathan, and he really seems to have rebounded nicely. Could you go into the job he did specifically against the 49ers?
So against the 49ers, he had that great fourth quarter interception, which that's where the majority of his good grade that we gave him came from. And that was an amazing play. Kaepernick was throwing 16 of his 25 passes in the middle of the field and short of 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, which isn't typically where Shields is responsible in coverage. Outside of that excellent interception, he did allow one catch, which we downgraded him for, even though the receiver ended up fumbling. And then we also downgraded him once on a screen pass where he was successfully blocked. But on the bright side, we also noticed a good close coverage from him on a Kaepernick overthrow that even if Kaepernick threw it more accurately, we didn't think the ball would have been completed. So overall, a very good game out of Shields. Even if you take out the interception, it was a fairly good game from him. And as you were saying, he allowed over 100 yards in week one, but since then, just 68 yards allowed over the past 3 games combined and then interceptions in each of the last two. So he's definitely rebounded nicely.
Yeah, good to see from Sam Shields. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, as we turn our attention to the offensive side of the football, was there anything you noticed from Aaron Rodgers in regards to the cover two look the 49ers kind of gave the Packers on this past Sunday, how they kept the receivers from beating them deep and how Rodgers had to take what the defense was giving him?
Yeah, Rodgers was definitely throwing more shorter passes than usual on Sunday. 23 of his 32 pass attempts, the ball was in the air for 8 yards or less. His top targeted guys were Randall Cobb and Richard Rodgers. He typically runs the shorter routes, and then also a few passes to the running backs, which also come on shorter routes. So even though he didn't throw as many deep balls, when he was able to throw the ball, either deep or even intermediate pass routes, he was really impressive. Plays like the pass early to Ty Montgomery to start the game, even though Montgomery dropped it, it was a wonderful throw. That sideline catch by James Jones was both a great throw and a great catch. Overall, we ended up giving him 4+1 or better throws on some of those passes, even though two were incomplete, the one drop and then another where it should have been caught, but the defense basically had pass interference, even though it wasn't called, so we still grade him positively for throws like that. So even though Rodgers was held to a lot more shorter passes, when he was able to throw the ball deeper, he had a great game in this one.
He did well, no doubt about it. You kind of alluded to this already, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit more. I thought outside of James Jones, who you mentioned, I thought the performance from the Packers wide receivers was underwhelming. Not always, but I thought they definitely could have played better. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, I would agree there. Cobb, he caught 5 passes, and typically we see him do more after the catch than he did in this one. He also had a drop pass, which is unusual out of Cobb. Then Montgomery as well, he had 3 catches, but they were passes where he was generally caught it without getting much yards before the catch, and then wasn't able to do much after the catch either. And then he also had a drop, so. To be fair, a little bit to Montgomery, he was going up against the 49ers' best cornerback for most of the game. But still, you would like to see more. And it's also worth noting that even though both of those receivers had a drop pass in this one, the Packers have only dropped 3 passes all season long, which is tied for the fewest for any team this year. So even though you don't want to see those drops happen, all the teams in the league are seeing their receivers drop their passes a bit more than Rodgers has seen his receivers drop passes so far this year.
I know Don Barclay hasn't played all that well, but I guess what I want to know, Nathan, is how does he compare to other right tackles in the NFL? How's he doing comparatively to his peers?
Sure. First off, with Barclay, he actually had his best game run blocking last Sunday that he's had this season. He had a few good blocks in the run game, blocking inside, and then we only had 2 noticeable bad ones. But then he allowed 3 sacks in the pass game, another sack that was called back by penalties. So it was another bad game from there. Overall, we currently have him as the lowest graded right tackle in the league. Obviously, there are probably worse right tackles in football right now, but they just aren't getting playing time because of how bad they are. So out of the guys that are getting time, Barclay has been playing the worst. He's our lowest graded offensive tackle in the run game, and then our second worst pass blocking right tackle at the moment.
That's disappointing to hear, but hopefully he can just battle it out for a few more games as the Packers hope to get Brian Bulaga healthy. Finally, Nathan, as we look ahead to the upcoming game for the Green Bay Packers, the Rams seem to be exceeding expectations this year. How are they getting it done on both offense and defense?
Sure. Whenever you talk about the Rams, the best place to start is probably that defensive line. They have the reputation for being a great pass rushing team, but they're just as good stopping the run. So I could see the Packers having a little bit of trouble there. Especially Aaron Donald, he's probably the top candidate for defensive player of the year so far. Their secondary has been playing well as well so far this year, with their biggest weak point probably being at the linebacker position. Laurinaitis hasn't been playing that well so far this year. And then Ogletree just went down with an injury, so he won't be playing in this one. Then on offense, their success almost completely comes down to Nick Foles exceeding expectations. He's been playing a bit better than I expected him to play so far this year. The talent around him hasn't been excellent. His offensive line is full of rookies, and they've been playing like rookies so far this year. Their receivers, there's no one that seems like a huge threat. And then only at running back, Todd Gurley had a couple of good runs this past game, although he also had a fumble. So the Rams are a team that have looked really, really good in some games, not so good in some other games, including both Week 2 and Week 3. So that really depends if the Rams are hot or cold to see how much of a fight they'll put up against the Packers.
Well, we hope to break it down with you next week on Railbird Central. Thank you, as usual, Nathan, for coming on the show and giving us a look back and a look forward to these Green Bay Packer games. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Of course. Have a good one.
All right, take care. As usual, Nathan Yonke making his weekly appearance on the show here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show today. And our next segment, Packers News of the Day. No sound bites this morning. What the Packers I'll give you some statistics here and then give you some analysis afterwards. The Packers currently are third in the NFL in scoring defense. I believe they're tied for third, allowing an average of 17.8 points per game. The Packers are also second in the NFL with 17 sacks thus far this season to show you how much improvement the Packers are. What I should have done is I should have looked up their ranking last year to give you a comparison of how much they've improved. But you could just see they're among the league leaders in these categories right now, which is remarkable. I think we're getting great play from the defense and giving you my two cents here on the improvement. And I suppose it's not original after Nathan Aké basically, mentioned for the most part all these things during his analysis. But I think it has to do a multitude of things. The reason for improvement, perhaps the biggest reasons I think is the defensive line. And yes, B.J. Raji back at nose tackle. Not even where he's lining up. I think the whole, where B.J. Raji is lining up as, moving back to nose tackle as opposed to end, that's a little bit overrated, I think. Not to say that it doesn't help. I think it's he's obviously a more natural nose tackle, but what I think in these past several seasons we've seen is just, underachievement by B.J. Raji in general, even when he's been out at end. I don't think he was playing all that well. And maybe part of it has to do with motivation coming from a spot that he thinks he's better at. Maybe that plays into it. Sure, I can allow that. But just he has really blown my pants off. With his play, he's exceeded expectations this year. I was ready to almost throw in the towel on B.J. Raji. He had the great Super Bowl season in 2010. He had an okay season in 2011, but then 2012, 2013, just underachievement, underwhelming, just probably on the fence of whether he deserved to play in the NFL or not those season. 2013, you just throw that out, seeing or 2014 when he, tore his biceps and was out for the season. So pretty much 3 years there, 2012 to 2014, getting nothing out of B.J. Raji or very little, we could say. And for him to bounce back in the way he's bounced back, I think is really been remarkable, and just great to see out of a guy who was a former first round draft pick. Really and played like one early in his career, the first 2, 3 years of his career, and then had kind of done a nosedive, slipped a little bit for whatever the reason was. But for him to really play, and yeah, I mean, he's getting help on the defensive line as well. Mike Daniels, of course, he's been the most solid, reliable guy in the defensive line ever since he's come into the league. Just consistently kind of giving you that same production year after year and getting off to another really good year this year. So that's of course the improvement from Mike Pinnell has been great. Getting LaTroy Guy on back from suspension will be a help if it's not already. I think the Packers were getting average production at best out of Josh Boyd, so maybe the fact that he's kind of out of the rotation is maybe helping a little bit. So all these things combining, I think are helping the Packers defense. So that's one thing. I think two, Clay Matthews is becoming more and more comfortable all the time at inside linebacker. I think, a lot of times last year you were just seeing him scratching the surface, but all of a sudden it seems like he's really excelling in every phase of the game, particularly when it comes to the pass, which, in today's day and age in the NFL is almost more important than how he plays the run. but you saw it there week one of the season when he made this fantastic play in coverage to intercept Jay Cutler, and just how great of a play that was, using his hands to intercept the pass and just undercutting a route and reading the quarterback. That was great. And then this past week may have been his best pass rushing performance in terms of blitzing, the way he timed those blitzes and the fury he came through the line of scrimmage with was just I've never seen that out of him before. Clay Matthews seemed so motivated to get after Colin Kaepernick. It was just I don't know what where I mean, I guess I know where the motivation comes from, seeing as those two playoff exits and the three wins by Kaepernick the last, three times they went up against him when he started. But yeah, to see that from him was just great to see. Great to see from Clay Matthews. So I think he's more comfortable at inside linebacker. I think for if you're looking for another reason for improvement by the Packers defense, it's the outside linebacker rotation, in terms that everybody seems to be pitching in, and it's not just Julius Peppers this year, who's he's doing fine. I believe Julius Peppers is leading the team in sacks right now with 3.5 through 4 games, but it's like everybody's pitching in. You got Mike Neal pitching in, who had the sack that kind of closed the door on the 49ers on fourth down this past game. You've got Nick Perry, who we talked about before, who's really showing improvement. He's got 3 sacks so far this season. You've got Jayrone Elliott kind of breaking out this year, chipping in. And these guys doing it in limited roles. I mean, when like Nathan Yonke said, when Nick Perry's coming in for 11 pass rushing snaps and basically coming up with 3 sacks, I think one was officially credited to somebody else. I mean, that's what you want right there. And it's like Jayrone Elliott's doing the same thing. And Mike Neal's been dealing with this groin injury. I think once he gets over that, he'll be even better. Julius Peppers doing his thing, and the Packers can allow him to be fresh this year. I think that's big. And then finally, if we're again looking for improvement from the Packers defense, you can almost make the argument so far that the replacements at cornerback are outperforming Tremont Williams and Devon House. Now it's early; we're only a quarter of the way through the season, and maybe I'm not willing to go that far yet. But through 4 games, I can't. If you want to make that argument, I can't hold that against you. I mean, what Casey Hayward and Demaryius Randall have done, while sometimes have gotten beat, no doubt about it, it hasn't been perfect. What they're doing is really they're preventing the touchdowns for sure. We've seen almost every game. It's like Demaryius Randall gets burned once a game. It seems to be like the trend that's happening right now. But he's kept them out of the end zone. In fact, had the nice, very nice pass breakup in the end zone against the 49ers this past week. And Casey Hayward too. He hasn't been perfect, but these guys aren't getting burned. The safeties especially aren't getting burned. They, Clint Dix, Morgan, whoever's back there, Micah Hyde, they're not giving up deep passes over their head. So they're keeping things in front of them for the most part. And so they're getting solid enough play. Like we said, Sam Shields has the poor first game. He's rebounded since that time. These are all reasons, all of them. Add them all up as to why this Packers defense is performing better this year, and hopefully they just keep on improving, just keep on getting better. Especially the secondary, you got to think those young guys. The more they play, the better they're going to do. That hopefully they get they just keep doing it. I asked followers, my followers on Twitter, where do you think the best, where the most improvement has come on the defensive side of the football this year? And got several different reactions here, and I'll read just a few of them. Nathan Otten on Twitter says, pass rush. I couldn't believe how many times we got to Kaepernick. And yeah, for a guy who really does a good job avoiding sacks, for the Packers to take him down 6 times, I thought was, very good job too. Cody on Twitter, at New Orleans Jazz, says, as much as I liked him, no AJ Hawk on this Packers defense. Thought he was a weaker link than we all thought. And finally, Paul Robinson on Twitter, Robo3687, says, totally uneducated opinion here, but it really seems like the D line has really clicked this year. And Mad Chad 10 says, the play of BJ Raji. That's just a sampling of some of the responses I got as to where the improvement has come this year on the defensive side of the football. Thank you to those who are helping us out on social media and giving your opinion on the show. And I would agree with all those. And it really does. It seems like it's coming from almost every level of the defense. A little improvement here, a little improvement there, in this position and that position. It all adds up to a better team defense overall. Good job, Packers. I wanted to share an opinion here, and it's I might be nitpicking here, but I haven't written about this. I don't know if I will, but I wanted to get it out there in some way, shape, or form. A nitpick with the Packers offense here. We have been spent the first, almost 30 minutes of the show praising the Packers defense. Want to give an opinion here on this Packers offense. And each of the past two games against the Kansas City Chiefs, it was one of the very first plays of the game. In fact, it might have been the very first play, both games, the very first. The Packers take a deep shot to Jeff Janis against the Kansas City Chiefs, really deep down the field. Janis kind of ran a poor route there, maybe didn't allow as much room for Rodgers to hit him in stride as he could have. And then followed that up this past week, this past Sunday, with a deep pass to Ty Montgomery. I think it was the very first play from scrimmage, if memory serves me. And a good pass by Aaron Rodgers. Ty Montgomery just drops it. But here's the nitpick. Why, with these inexperienced guys, why with Janis and Montgomery, are we going the first play of the game and putting all this pressure on them, guys who haven't performed in pretty much any capacity yet, any meaningful capacity, and like asking them to make this huge catch and huge game on play number one? Let's get these guys involved in the game. Let's build their confidence. Let's get the ball in their hands on a short slant, something simple, something easy. And I think if you start doing that, the confidence is going to start coming, and then you might see these guys make the catch. Then you might see them starting to make the right decision. Little bit of a nitpick here, but let's start, being smart if we're the play callers and Aaron Rodgers in terms of, you want to go deep to Randall Cobb right now. That's one thing. Randall Cobb's accomplished. He's done things in the NFL. Jeff Janis and Ty Montgomery haven't done anything yet. Let's not put all this pressure on them play one, when these guys are probably shaking in their boots and nervous about how they're going to play. Let's build their confidence. So again, minor here, minor. We're talking about one poor play from each, but I think the Packers can do a better job of putting these guys in a better position to contribute and take these shots later in the game with them after they've had a catch or two and are into the swing of things and not thinking so much anymore, just reacting and doing what they're supposed to do. Other items in your Packers news of the day, kind of notebook items, smaller items from yesterday. Jared Aberderis signs a 3-year contract with the Green Bay Packers. So details of the contract he signed were released yesterday, and they are the base salary is league minimum deals each of the first 3 years. So 2015, 2016, 2017, he'll be a free agent after the 2017 season, unrestricted free agent, as long as the Packers don't release him anytime along the way here. So that's the details on Jared Aberderis, keeping him under contract for the next 3 years. And on top of that, the guy they released in order to make room for Jared Aberderis on the active roster, Bruce Gaston, ended up clearing waivers on Monday and re-signed to the Green Bay Packers practice squad on Tuesday. Here's a guy who the Packers, he had, was signed midway through the season last year to their active roster, but never played. And then he made the 53-man roster this year, coming out of training camp, and really had a good training camp, I thought, for Bruce Gaston. And then it was kind of unfortunate to see him struggle during the regular season. I think the jump from, playing against backups in preseason action to playing against starters in the regular season has been, tougher to overcome than perhaps I thought, and maybe others as well. But I think it was good that the Packers invited him back onto the practice squad, of course, with the spot open, the spot vacated by Jared Aberderis. Good to get a guy who's been around, who knows the defense, and can, stick around and maybe even be, again, somewhere along the line, promoted, brought back, something along those lines. So that's what Bruce Gaston happened to him on Tuesday. Final segment of the show, the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers. It is Wednesday. It is 2 days since the Packers last. They got 2 days off, basically, Monday, Tuesday, no practice after their win Sunday in San Francisco. So they get back to action today, the first day of practice as they get ready for the St. Louis Rams this upcoming weekend. And I think what everybody's waiting to see today is the status of offensive lineman Brian Bulaga, who, of course, has been out now for the past several weeks. With the torn MCL in his left knee. And people are holding out hope that he'll be able to return. We just talked about how poor Don Barclay is, among the lowest graded right tackle in the NFL, according to ProFootballFocus.com, and people wanting to see Brian Bulaga get back and get healthy. And, Mike McCarthy even said earlier this week on Monday, he's like, I hope so. I hope he's back. This week, I guess I'm here to put a little bit of a damper on this. I personally wouldn't be holding out too much hope that Brian Bulaga returns this week, or perhaps even next week for that matter. Maybe I'll be eating my words. I don't know, but I have this feeling the Packers are off to a 4-0 start. They're feeling good about themselves. They don't have to take many chances, especially with two consecutive home games coming up here. I think they're going to allow Brian Bulaga to wait until the bye week to rest and get him come back. I mean, that's almost a month from now when they come back from the bye, because they got a game against St. Louis. They got the game against the Chargers. They've got the bye week, and then they got the whole week leading up to that game against the Broncos post bye. That's practically a month for him to get better, get healthy, get that knee right, let it rest, let him recover, do some strength and conditioning, all those things. I wouldn't hold out hope that Brian Bulaga is returning this week. Like I said, maybe I'll eat my words when he's out there practicing today. When the Packers are back on the practice field, we'll be finding out later today. But that's my thoughts. I think the Packers should play it safe with him. And who knows, maybe even with Devontae Adams too. I don't think the situation is quite as, dire, with Devontae Adams having a sprained ankle as opposed to a sprained MCL with Brian Bly. I think it's a little more severe. I don't think the Packers should take chances with Devontae Adams either, but I just don't think the injury is quite as severe. Maybe that'll allow him to get back, maybe if not today, maybe later this week, maybe next week. We'll see with Devontae Adams. But anyway, that's coming up in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, today, as they return to practice. So looking forward to that later on. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Railbird Central. Thank you to Nathan Yonke for joining us, as he does every week during the regular season. Glad to have him joining us, and glad to have you. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll be back again on Friday. We'll be previewing that Rams game more in depth, and we'll talk to you then. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. We'd really, really appreciate if you could, take some time out of your day, just a minute, give us a rating, give a short comment on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. That's it. That's it. That's it, folks. We'll see you again 2 days from now. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphrey's McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.